You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
All right, everybody, welcome to Inside the Locker. My name is Ramon Ramirez. With me, as always, JC DeLeon.
What's up, what's up?
Logan Don Urie.
Yep.
Elliot Fontanet.
I require additional pylons.
Adam Charles is not here tonight. He has a...
Nice.
I think he has some bunions, and he's just kind of sitting down and rubbing them out. That's a joke. He has actually very important, serious things to take care of, so we won't joke about that again. Penny, my dog, is here, though, in his absence. And she is currently sipping water. Now, this podcast, this episode, we're going to call it the 2-Minute Warning. What that means, we're going to do this kind of pardon the interruption style. We got all, basically every single hot button issue that we could think of queued up on a list, and we're going to discuss every single one for 2 minutes exactly, and then move on.
In depth, like the deepest
just
depth you can
deep, like crazy detail.
NPR podcast.
Now, Elliot is going to be keeping time
Supreme
and score,
Court.
So Elliot, we're gonna need you to be the enforcer here.
Okay.
I need you to yell, time,
okay.
Next
but
podcast.
But don't blow out the mic.
So basically, just be like, time, tell us what the next topic is.
Okay.
You know, just be like, time, Katy Perry. Time.
Oh,
etc.
Then I'm the scorekeeper. What's that guy's name on PTI?
Tony Reale.
Tony Reale.
Yeah.
Turn around the horn.
Yeah. But we're not necessarily debating it. We're unpacking it. So This is more like a supermarket sweet thing. We're just packing up shit.
We're informing. We're making the world a better place.
So we're gonna get into it right now. Basically, Elliot, whenever you're ready, start the clock. Give us the first topic.
Okay,
and let's roll.
Okay, ding ding. Number one on the docket is Peyton Manning.
Well, one of the three or four best quarterbacks of all time. One of the most accomplished. Went out a winner. Two-time Super Bowl winner. What else can you really say about Peyton Manning besides, is he the greatest quarterback of all time?
That's sexual harassment, though.
Yeah, that he's retiring at the right time, because I fully think if that shit hadn't come out, he'd have played one more year.
Well, he's also, I don't think he really got any decent offers to play anywhere. I think the LA Rams kind of wanted him, but I don't know if he wanted to go there.
But why would you switch from the Broncos? Like, would the Broncos cut him?
Well, yeah, the Broncos don't want him.
Wow.
So if he was going to stick around, it would have been with another team.
But also, he went out on top. He went out, again, at the right time. Like, even despite that, like, can you expect him to win another Super Bowl after this?
How much HGH is there in Denver?
I mean, the question is, what else could Peyton Manning accomplish?
There's plenty of THC in Denver.
That's true. I mean, I think you're right, Ramon. There is almost literally nothing else for him to do. Like, he has reached the mountaintop, and all he could do now is diminish his legacy. It would be, and I like this era, but it would be Jordan going to the Wizards.
Now, let me ask you guys honestly. Look, we should put this together really quickly since we have, you know, a little bit of time here. All right, is Peyton Manning the greatest quarterback of all time?
No, but he's among them.
Who's better than Peyton Manning? Every single passing record, titles with two different teams.
I think if you're talking about like just breadth of work, and if you're considering also like the times of it, like Joe Montana's definitely got to be up
there. And it's how do you measure greatness?
Roger Staubach, you know, I mean, those guys are
because like you got different rules in different eras.
Is he better than John Elway?
Yes, I don't think he's better than Drew Brees. I think Drew Brees is a better straight up quarterback than Peyton Manning.
I think that's ridiculous. Is he better than Tom Brady?
Oh yeah.
Now, the John Elway thing is interesting because, you know, John Elway
he's
lost.
He's better than Tom Brady.
I kind of don't think he is.
Tom Brady has Belichick. That counts against him when I'm thinking about how good you are.
You know, last point I want to make on this, Tony Romo sat down with Bill Simmons, and kind of off the record, you know, Bill Simmons was like, hey, who's better, Peyton or Brady?
Time!
And we'll have to move on. Next topic.
So, also, real quick, for those of you, because it is going to be a little bit of a different noise profile this week, we're recording for the first time in the new offices
brand
in Ramon.
New Daily Dot office.
Also, we have the door open, so that's why you hear the car door, cars whizzing by.
I'll close it.
But it's all right. It's fine. So it's just going to be a little bit different. We're going to be a little bit echoey. We're also going to be trying to kind of like work out a few audio kinks here and there to make it work for you. So
thanks for riding along with us
why.
Is what we're saying.
Yeah.
Thanks for rolling with us.
Thank you.
Okay. Next topic is the Warriors. They are, I think, 55-6.
Yeah.
But they just lost to the Lakers. Yeah. And go.
All right.
Well, the loss of the Lakers doesn't mean a thing because it's early Sunday morning on road game when they had the night off. This is lengthy. When they had the night off the night before in Los Angeles, it's a hangover game. It's happened before. It's sort of the sort of thing where you could not easily predicted, because it is essentially the biggest upset in NBA history as far as like lowest percent winning percentage versus highest winning percentage.
What's up with Draymond Green is what I want to know.
I mean, he's up and down. He's not the most talented player. I think he feeds a lot off of Steph's success. And so in that game, Steph was way off. And so that's going to adversely affect Draymond Green.
All right. Let's dispel with this notion, with this fiction, that the Golden State Warriors are the greatest team of all time. Come on, JC. They're not better than 96 Bulls.
No, they're not better than the 96
Thank
Bulls.
Thank God.
The who? The 1996 Bulls, the 72-10.
Never heard of them.
1996.
Because the 96 Bulls had the advantage of being a dominant team inside. The thing about this Warriors team is they don't rebound. They don't offensive rebound. They don't really defensive rebound. You can get a team that plays big enough and play well enough. San Antonio is one of those teams. Cleveland could be one of those teams. If you out-rebound them by a lot and punish them physically, they'll wilt.
Well, all right. Here's the thing, though. Steph Curry is the greatest shooter of all time.
I will give him that.
Yeah.
And Klay Thompson is a special shooter that doesn't need perfect form to stroke and tickle the twine.
I think he's got a perfect shot. I'd put Klay in the top 10 shooters.
No, I agree. What I'm saying is he doesn't need that perfect follow-through. He can make awkward shots. And so, again, the Warriors are really difficult to stop. Are they going to win the title easily?
I guess we'll never know.
Next topic.
Sensing a theme here.
Okay. The Kobe Bryant retirement tour.
All right. So, Kobe, here's another question with Kobe. Is Kobe the greatest player of the 21st century?
Ooh. So far.
The 21st, yes.
Is he better than LeBron?
So far, yes. I think LeBron...
What gives him the edge is he has that killer instinct that LeBron has never had.
Yeah.
The thing that I wish he had, because on pure talent and skill, the size helps. I'm sure LeBron
also
is a better overall basketball player, but Kobe, with the killer instinct, has the edge.
Also, he was first.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want to talk about... I don't know if better is the right metric so much as the people who inherited the role. Like, Steph Curry is Larry Bird. LeBron James is Magic Johnson, and Kobe, as much as I don't like Kobe,
he's Jordan.
He is Jordan.
Right. Yeah, he's the Jordan role. He's the tall, lanky, athletic shooting guard that is going to kill himself to beat you.
Yeah, yeah. and who does have that, I am going to fucking kill you in the fourth quarter if I have to.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things, the only times I really found myself loving Kobe is during the USA Dream Team games, because there were times he put him on his back and just slayed. I think it was France that was about to beat him one game.
That was Spain, and he was the old guy on that team. He was the old guy, but he became the alpha dog. He is one of the great alpha dogs in NBA history. And yeah. I don't know how many better just pound for pound players that there really are. Now I'd rather have LeBron. I think you can do more with LeBron. I think LeBron James is a. But all right, so this Kobe retirement tour though. So here's the real question: why are we watching this?
Yeah, I mean, it's winding down. It's not pretty to watch. He's even in a game last night where the Lakers beat the Warriors, he really didn't have anything to do with it. But you know, there's only so many games left, and it's almost over.
And it's a little gratifying to watch. Like, he's had a tumultuous career, but it's like, you know what? He did make a positive impact on the NBA.
It's one of those things. I don't have a problem with him doing it. I have a feeling, guys.
Time.
Okay.
All right. Next topic.
Holtzclaw.
Okay, so this is Daniel Holtzclaw. We want to talk about this very quickly. For those that didn't read it,
for 2 minutes.
Daniel Holtzclaw was convicted of rape in the state of Oklahoma as a police officer. Undisputed, convicted, he will be serving a life sentence. In the state of Michigan, he was a football star. He was a failed football star. And SB Nation ran a story, a long, deep dive, 7,000-word story. That was sympathetic to the guy, and they painted him as a misunderstood fallen hero. Now, that's a story that you can't really tell about a convicted rapist. Now, if you're going to tell that story, though, and if you're
going to go especially there, over like multiple rapes,
and if you're and if you're going to go there and tell that kind of story, and now there was also a racial component because he was a white man that raped African American women.
Yeah,
if you're going to tell this story,
he was part Asian too.
Irrelevant. If you're going to tell this story, you cannot tell the story without interviewing victims, and basically telling the other side and doing your due diligence. So what does he do? The way he reports out his story is talks to his friends and former teammates who paint a picture of a pretty good guy. Now, why did this fail? I'll tell you why this failed. Why was this even published? I'll tell you why it was published. According to all reports, one 50-something editor who'd been there a long time overruled a woman of color who was also an editor who said, this is a terrible idea. And he unilaterally made the decision to kind of run this and publish it himself. There was also an institutional failure because the reality is that SB Nation is a blog that is trying to buy its way onto the prestige table. And there's a difference between long-form writing and actual reporting. Just because something is really long and stuffy doesn't mean that it's good. They conflated the two.
That's what she said.
And not enough people read it.
Oh, wrong one.
Not enough checks and balances. This was a huge systemic failure. And that's why the editor of the long-form vertical is out of a job. The long-form vertical is in question and doubt, and it just shows that you have to do your due diligence.
Time.
And we're going to run out of time for a second, but I also want to reemphasize that Ramon is a professional journalist and a damn good journalist, a damn good editor, so you should pay attention to what he has to say on this stuff.
I am the time keeper, so I'm going to give myself one. Everybody's going to get one little time. One of my old law professors, when he was talking about this, he was putting it on Facebook about this decision. And he, Holzkar got 268 years in prison, the maximum he could get. And the joke was, he goes to the judge, he's like, but judge, I can't, I'm like 35, I can't do 268 years. And the judge just goes, oh, don't worry, son, we just want you to try your best.
Oh.
So, law joke, on to number five.
I was wondering how that happened.
Obama welcomed Alabama to the White House and congratulated them on their win. And what happened is one of the players said, yeah, Saban's the most powerful person in the world. Now, you know, that's a joke, but I want to be clear that...
Is Nick Saban the most powerful person in the world?
Is there some truth to that?
No. but it makes me remember a funny story that how important people think they are when it comes to their positions in football. So, like, last year at South by Southwest, I went to the South by Sports. There was a Funny or Die panel, and Funny or Die had made a lot of news because they had created videos with some athletes, and so the panel was all about, you know, can athletes be funny? And they talked about how President Obama, a few weeks before that, had made his own Funny or Die video and sort of made fun of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And the people at Funny or Die contacted the NFL and contacted Roger Goodell and wanted him to make one of those videos. And at first they said yes, but once they learned the context of it, they said no, because Roger Goodell didn't want himself made fun of. And Funny or Die was like, well, President Obama did it. You know, he made fun of himself, and it was a really good video. And this is what the people in the NFL said. They said, Barack Obama is not Roger Goodell.
Yes, because Roger Goodell, I'm going to trust that motherfucker with nuclear codes.
It's a good point.
But Obama is, you know, he's toward the end of his presidency, so he's at a point where he can kind of do whatever he wants. The gloves are off a little bit.
Which I like. That's the reason why he's showing up this next week in Austin to come and
fuck it up our traffic.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just going to get queso.
So anyway, original question is, Nick Saban the most powerful person on earth? Is there any truth to that? Well, he does have an incredible amount of power. This is a man that once, he compared losing a game to 9/11 one time.
What?
So if Alabama is earth, then yes. Yeah. That's the end of it.
He probably is the most powerful person in Alabama.
This is a man that's so powerful that somebody photoshopped a picture of them next to Nick Saban because they wanted to run for like local office and they needed to be able to show this, and then they got busted. Time.
Yeah, I'm going to start letting people finish their thoughts.
No, you should not. You should not.
Yeah, that's funnier.
It's more fun when
you stop. Okay, fine.
It's also funnier when we point out the joke, too.
Okay. LOL Eagles.
All right, Philadelphia Eagles. Well, LOL. A year after giving complete autonomy and control to Chip Kelly, all of his moves are gone. DeMarco Murray is off the team. Traded to the Tennessee Titans. All of a sudden, Ryan Matthews is the most valuable running back in Philadelphia and a potential fantasy sleeper. Kiko Alonso and Byron Maxwell are off that team. So, okay, the real question is, where does Philly go from here? Oh, by the way, they gave Sam Bradford a 2-year extension.
What the fuck is going on?
Well, bad decisions, and then a football guy came in, a new coach came in and was like, these are terrible decisions. We have to get rid of all these players. And like, Kiko Alonso was a guy that was coming off of, you know, had no knees.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I think Chip Kelly was a total comprehensive, terrible failure of a coach. Now, my question is, now that Chip Kelly's in San Francisco, is this going to happen again? Or do you think that he will learn his lesson, he will sort of be humbled by the experience, and he will be able to, you know, turn that franchise around?
I mean, as far as like wanting to pick his own players, I think he learned his lesson about not being his own GM. But the Vegas over-unders on number of wins have come out, and they set it for San Francisco at 5. Mm. And so they're not anticipating great things.
Yeah, but hey, the bar is good and low.
Yeah.
He's gonna get a chance to clear that hurdle.
Oh, yeah.
My thing is... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. No, you go ahead.
But my thing is, like, why would you want to be both? Like, if you get a GM that you trust, that is less work you have to do, and you can focus on, I'm a coach, because, like... I don't think NFL coaches a job description that just basically says, "Yeah, wing it."
Right.
I don't think it works.
People are control freaks. You know, look at James Cameron. He's a visionary director, a terrible writer, but he insists on writing all his own movies, and the dialogue suffers for it. Philadelphia Eagles, are they going to win 5 games or more next year?
Ooh, they'll win 5.
I think they can win 5.
All right.
In their division, they'll win 5.
Oh,
and we are right at time. That was a tight segment, people. I like it.
I was going to say, yeah, that division's garbage.
Okay, now we're going to go. We're going to give you a long-term fantasy prospects. What are the sleepers, Ramon? Because you're the fantasy expert here. Which ones should you be looking at when you're doing your due diligence for next year?
Well, right now, you know, if you have an opportunity to have DeMarco Murray or Ryan Matthews, you want both on your team because I think both of those guys are going to carry the load for their backfield. And I think there's a lot of mileage left on. I mean, honestly, DeMarco Murray is a running back that could be a first-round top-5 producer that you're going to be able to get in the second round. I think that's really exciting. If you are in one of those leagues where you carry players year to year and you got a guy like Demaryius Thomas, I think it's time to sell as high as you can. That guy's a specimen. That guy produced with Tim Tebow as his quarterback. But I think that team is built on running the football and defense. And I think the Demaryius Thomas top 5 being a complete monster, I think that's going to start to fade. Beyond that, I think if you have there's players like Aaron Rodgers, like Colin Kaepernick that you can buy low on that I think will be kind of halfway decent next year.
What Osweiler?
Brock Osweiler. It's hard to tell because I don't know if he's good, and I don't know if he's. I mean, I know that he's a great specimen. He's tall. He's a good-looking man that people turn to, and he's going to be a good leader. He can chunk it deep. He can make throws that Peyton Manning cannot, which is why I was actually surprised that they went back to Peyton Manning for the playoffs. But, you know, there's just so much going on that team. I don't love it. I'd stay away. And then beyond that, I'm looking at, you know, what a lot of these teams are going to be doing closer to the draft because there's a lot of really good, really interesting players.
What do you think is fool's gold right now?
The fool's gold player right now is going to be Rob Gronkowski, and I'll tell you why. I'm never going to own Rob Gronkowski again for a good while. He was the guy that you could get in the second round and get first-round production. Last year, he was the guy you had to get him in the first round to have him on your team. Problem is that he can win a Super Bowl, and he's going to be able to potentially win a Super Bowl next year. However, the New England Patriots are not going to risk him in December, and they're going to keep him basically in a plastic case until the playoffs.
And yeah. Time. Okay, we're going to go with Aaron Andrews.
Good segment.
So the basis of what I understand is that there was a tape produced of her.
Yeah, so basically, Aaron Andrews had a stalker, and this stalker found out where she was staying. This is she was covering an event for Vanderbilt University. The guy found out where she was staying. He calls up the Marriott and asks to be put in the room next to hers, and they did it.
What?
And he sort of jerry-rigged the peephole and so that you could see in from the outside and recorded a video of her changing. She was just walking around her hotel room naked.
What?
So that's terrible, but that also happened in 2009.
Right.
And what's been really shitty is she's been in court for a long time. A couple of shitty things about that. Number one, ESPN made her talk about that on Good Morning America.
Yeah.
Because what? ESPN was afraid that people thought she was faking it and doing it for publicity, which obviously she wasn't. Number two, she sued the Marriott Nashville for $75 million in damages. On Monday, she was awarded $55 million in damages.
Good for her. Yeah.
Beyond that, though, I mean, yeah, like an incredibly intrusive, terrible, violating thing. And because she's in the news again, here's a little inside baseball. We wrote a story about this. Because she's back in the news, people are actively, crazily searching for that video, which is kind of sad.
I don't want to live on this planet.
So much so that we wrote a story about how this is a terrible thing, and that story was our number one story on the Daily Dot for most of the evening because people were searching for the Aaron Andrews video and coming across our story about it. So hopefully our story made them feel a little shitty about themselves.
They should feel bad about themselves.
My question to you, Elliot, so it was $55 million, but the jury said that $26.5 million of that is supposed to come from her stalker. What does one do if you don't have $26 million to give to someone?
Well, they're gonna put a lien on his house, and he's just basically gonna have that debt for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
So basically,
so like she not, never, so
time.
She, well, I mean, I do want to talk about this. So she
you
never
not know the rules. JC.
This is JC's extension.
This is my one. So she never sees $26 million of that $55 million.
She might not. I can't say for sure because I'm not too familiar with the case. But what's probably gonna happen in effect is that his life. Rightfully, it's just going to be shitty.
His life is fucked.
Like they're going to they're going to collect all the debt they can off of him, and he's never going to be done.
Right.
Like a payment plan just might make it to where he's living subsistence
right
for the rest of his life. So that was actually the jury's way of punishing that guy in a civil suit, which is hard to do. But she still gets her payoff from the Nashville.
Okay.
The Nashville hotel.
Yeah.
But I actually heard something that like there was like the director of the hotel or something. I don't know. There was a person high up that apparently like watched the tape at a dinner and was fucking laughing about it.
Yeah, well, and then they also their defense in the why they shouldn't pay $75 million was that she even though she might not have done that on purpose, she did profit off of this video.
What?
Because her career kind of took off after this. Like she does Dancing with the Stars, and she has. All
I'm not saying I agree with that argument, but I can understand why a lawyer made it.
Yeah, they were trying to lower the 75. Yeah.
I'm going to disagree with that argument because she was a rising star, kind of leading up.
No, but I'm saying if you're a lawyer and you're trying to.
All right, next topic,
and we're going to soccer.
Soccer. All right. Here's what you need to know about soccer this month. The English Premier League title race is heating up with 9 games to go. All of your big-time favorites. There's 4 big clubs in the Premier League. Manchester United, Manchester City, Chelsea, Liverpool, and Arsenal. That's 5. My bad. None of those teams are title contenders this year. This is the most wide-open title chase that we've ever had. The top 2 teams are Leicester City. This is a team that wasn't even in the Premier League 2 years ago because they've been relegated. They have a 5-point lead with 9 games to go. They are the overwhelming favorites to win the title. And Tottenham Hotspur, a team that's perennially okay, all of a sudden is in second place. A miracle, incredible season. Oh, by the way, everybody thinks they're going to blow it. Coming off of the North London Derby this weekend where Tottenham played arch-rival Arsenal, a game that was violent and had a lot of people arrested outside of the stadium, outside of White Hart Lane. It was a 2-2 draw, so one of those things where the draw meant you don't get that many points, you don't move up. It's going to be a really intense, down-the-stretch kind of a situation, but Leicester City keeps winning, and they have cleared all of the hurdles. The other interesting thing about that, about the Premier League, is that Manchester City, you know, imagine if you are, say, the Detroit Lions, your historic, okay team that's been in the league forever, and then all of a sudden a Middle East oil baron buys you and puts all the money in the world in your basket. That's Manchester City. They have all the money in the world, so much so that Pep Guardiola, the best manager in the world, is going to leave Bayern Munich, one of the best teams in the world, coming to Manchester City next year. But the problem with that is that it has made these remaining 4 months kind of a lame duck season for Man City, one of those stacked teams. In the Champions League, basically here's what you need to know. Down in the Sweet 16 of the Champions League, those are all of the big European clubs. Final is on the 20, basically end of May, so you have 2 months of the Sweet 16 of the Champions League. It's going to be awesome. Basically, though, Barcelona, Messi, Luis Suarez, and Neymar, foregone conclusion. That's why it's not that exciting this year.
Time. Okay, we got Brock Osweiler is next on the docket.
All right. A couple of things to talk about with Brock Osweiler. Number one, is he the quarterback of the future for the Denver Broncos? I want to ask you guys, what do you think?
No. I think he's a placeholder.
Okay. Logan?
No, he's. I liked what he did there, but he hasn't shown me enough. I have no clue. In fact, I think the big question is who the hell is going to be quarterback for the Denver Broncos?
I think because of the question, who the hell is going to be the quarterback? I think they're going to try to keep him because of that familiarity at least. I think it'll be disastrous for Denver if he goes to Houston.
I mean, I think what Denver would be wise to do is just have a decent season, keep a lot of their talent, and then just wait for a good quarterback that has his contract coming up. You know, I'm so used to saying his or her, I'm saying his or her, and just try to like lure them to there, because it's that is a team that's like, it's turnkey. You get there, you're gonna win. Like they had their defense carried an inept Peyton Manning to a Super Bowl championship.
As long as Von Miller's there, then they're all good.
The defense is gonna be good. You're right. And I think this run showed that you can have a team like Carson Palmer, the Arizona Cardinals, and make a deep, deep, deep run into the Super Bowl. You can have Peyton Manning be 39 years old and not be able to throw the ball down the field and still win.
But there was an incident, right?
Brock Osweiler did get into an incident. He got into a fight outside a pizza place, according to TMZ Sports. There's video of the incident. He appears to shove a woman. I think this is going to get swept under the table, the legal view. And Elliot, we had you review the footage as our resident legal expert. You're saying, you know, she'll probably settle out of court. This won't really be much of an issue.
They're gonna settle this really quickly. There's no reason to bring this to court, because you never know the jury you're gonna get. And if you've got people that just like for some reason want to just award somebody something, you're just gonna go to control that, limit the liability, keep it to something really, really, really reasonable.
It's gonna be settled for $20 and a slice of pizza
in time. Sorry. Okay. Next one is Reddit, rock, and workout routine. And go. JC, you know this one.
Yeah. So a writer for, I believe, 538 wanted to eat like The Rock for a month, and which is basically a lot of cod, a lot of protein, like six meals a day, something like that.
A lot of meals. It's basically what I'm going to eat whenever I'm in Hawaii this month.
And he was working out the whole time while he was doing it. And so at the end of it, it had some pretty surprising results. He only gained 1 pound, and he got a lot stronger, he said. But the downside to that whole diet is that he spent $1,500 in 1 month.
And I think like $300 on cod.
Yeah.
Well, it happens. Now, yeah. Is cod delicious?
I don't think so.
Cod happens. It's true.
Well, like cod is a very bland fish. So you can pretty much do whatever you want to. Like they make fish sticks out of cod a lot because it's so neutral. You're not going to get any flavor out of it.
And I know that The Rock sort of he went on Instagram and said, in order for you to do that, you have to be Hawaiian or Samoan or something.
He said you have to be half black, half Samoan.
Yeah.
And then he put like a hundred Samoan.
Yeah. And so I know that The Rock has a history of telling people what he's able to do. Like one of the funny stories I told before on oneofus.net is. The director from Furious 7 asked him to do a specific stunt, asked him if it was something that he could do. And The Rock looks at him and he goes, "Brother, I could do anything except make white babies."
Unless he's in San Andreas, because that was a...
That's a white baby.
She was white. It's like, you made a white baby there, Rock. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. I got a Rock story while we're here. This is from Josh Katzwitz, who's a writer at the Daily Dot. He used to cover sports. But anyway, basically interviews The Rock in the late 90s, and The Rock was talking about how he hates that guys always keep saying the same thing over and over at the different tour stops with the WWE. So Josh looks at him and goes, "Yeah, those guys are real one-trick ponies." The Rock looks at him and goes, "That's pretty good." The next week on Raw, The Rock is like, "And this guy, he's a real one-trick pony."
And time! Okay, we got the next one. Ramon gave this one to me. I don't quite understand it, but that's the story of my life. The Bachelor.
Hey, The Bachelor, we're down to the final rose here, okay? Now, this is a big deal. So it's down to Lauren B. and JoJo.
Okay. I know a little bit about this because I listen to other podcasts that talk about it. JoJo's like crazy, right?
Not quite. JoJo's family is intense.
Okay, yeah.
Now, and here's my question for you guys.
JoJo's the favorite, right?
Well, again, Lauren B is the favorite. JoJo is, if we're speaking frankly, is the hotter one.
Okay.
She has larger breasts and is from Dallas, so she's very made up. Lauren B is like the natural beauty. I think the real, real issue is going to come down to love versus lust, because that Lauren B connection is strong. I kind of was hoping that you guys were all like really into The Bachelor and said, but I can talk about it anyway. That's okay.
I'm a single man, which means I don't watch The Bachelor.
I didn't know it was still coming on.
I watch The Bachelor religiously. It's a great show, but The Bachelor says a lot about
right here.
I watch it. I insist that we watch it. I do think.
Just watch The Bachelor trying to bang a lady, but that's it.
I think this season in particular
really highlighted the race problem that The Bachelor has.
Oh, the inherent one?
Because you have three African-American women who don't get very far in the show. And more than that, you have one...
Is John Mayer The Bachelor?
No. But you have one very beautiful African-American woman who early on in the show was sort of painted as like, why is this person so aggressive? Why is this person so weird? As like the misunderstood one. And it's just like what kept happening in all those years of The Real World where the black person felt misunderstood because they were with all these like really intense, high-energy white people. Mm-hmm. And it created really, really
that's real... That's not exactly comfortable.
Real, real-deal drama. But you heard it here first. Lauren B is going to be the she's going to win it, and then Joe's going to be the Bachelorette next season.
Is that okay. What's going on with the real world? I'm so confused.
If we're going to talk about TV, I have a surprise topic.
No, just to go to the okay, yeah.
My prerogative. There's a because it's an interesting story. It's about this show called Lucifer, and it's about the devil, the literal devil.
Yeah,
he takes a vacation. He goes to Los Angeles, but the 1 Million Moms organization wrote a petition because they think that the devil's too sexy. Now, does that say something about the show or the organization? And I just want your hot takes on that. Like, the fact that you're like, this devil is too sexy. I must complain about it.
Is it the inside the program that they're complaining about?
Yeah, they're complaining that the actor they cast to play the devil, which is like this really handsome British guy, he's too sexy to play the devil.
The devil's supposed to be sexy. He's like Dracula. Dracula is sexy, you know? And yeah. Like, he's supposed to be seductive. He's supposed to like form whatever you want and try to seduce you into that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think it says more to people about them being worried about why they're attracted to the devil.
It's like, I'm pretty sure Ramon is my devil.
Oh, okay.
I just want to put JC on blast because you're hating on me for not watching The Bachelor, but you just Googled the chicks.
Well, because
I didn't Google the one that I said was hotter and had larger breasts, and you Googled her.
It's a larger breast.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at that. And by the way, let's not be sexist.
I realized I didn't know what she looked like. I just know her name. And mm-hmm. Yeah, she's pretty hot.
Okay. As that was a bonus topic, we're going to stop that one early. Next topic. Jameis Winston's accuser was on the Oscars. She was in Lady Gaga's song. I think it was Until It Happens to You from the, I think it's The Hunting Ground. It's a documentary. Yeah. It's a very powerful documentary about on-campus
I'm glad we're talking about
sexual
this.
Assault. And it's very, just from my standpoint, you know, considering how horribly that case was handled, and I don't know if it was purposely handled horrible by the police department there, it's good that she at least gets some kind of remote, I don't know if they could say restitution, but some kind of closure, resolution from this that, hey, no, people aren't thinking you're just somebody who made this stuff up. Anybody have any takes on that, or do I just talk all the time?
Well, I mean, I think it's a cool thing. I think it's nice to see her get. I mean, the bummer. You think about the great line at the end of The Departed, where Leo is like, "What? So you can get the bagpipes in the parade?" Like, you know, no one knows the name of Jameis Winston's alleged victim. She's been blacklisted. She's been discredited. She's been attacked as being crazy, and meanwhile, Jameis Winston is a multimillionaire starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And people don't like to think about this alleged incident that happened in the past. So the fact that she's getting credibility on a platform is a good, healthy thing for society.
Yeah, it's shown that, like, just, I mean, if you think about the paradigm shift, just if you look at what Bill Clinton did 20 years ago and how that was viewed 20 years ago, well, you know, they two consenting adults, but now it's viewed rightfully, he was the most powerful man in the world, and she was a 21-year-old intern. Not the same. Then you go 10 years later, and you got what happened with Kobe Bryant in Colorado, where everything had happened, and they started off on, she's just trying to meet this famous guy. And now the culture's like, hey, maybe we should try to believe some people instead of just smearing them as soon as they come out. Because that's sort of shitty. It's really, really bad.
Yeah, I think the rise of victim blaming and at least understanding kind of that is an issue,
time
that
it's
a problem.
Going.
Is important, and we should. It's good that we understand that this is a real thing. That
yes.
We should not necessarily just sweep under the rug and dismiss. And yes, there's crazy on one side, and yes, there are like sexual predators on the other side, and you have to kind of find where the truth is and somewhere
yeah, but
between.
Like, don't just shout down the
exactly.
victim before there's even like an understanding
yeah.
of what happened.
Well, and again, yeah. going back to Peyton Manning, you know, the real shitty thing that Peyton Manning did, aside from the really juvenile, terrible, shitty sexual assault that he committed, allegedly, was using his institutional power to discredit this woman, and that's that's what you see a lot, and that's really sad. It's really terrible. Next topic.
Okay, we're gonna go with the cop who found the OJ knife and just kept it for years.
Fam,
finally tasted.
Fam,
testing it.
What?
You had one job.
The OJ knife. Dog, that's the best thing in the world. You're just like, oh, the OJ knife. I want to get this thing framed, and I just want to have this horrible murder weapon.
Because a construction worker found it, and he gave it to the cop. He's like, I don't want it.
For those that don't know, let's set the scene. Allegedly, a construction worker found a knife in the late 90s as they were deconstructing the OJ Simpson house. He goes, hey, this is a knife. It appears to have some blood on it. Here you go, police officer. And the cop goes, hey, I'm off duty, but here's this knife. Oh, this is kind of cool. And then he keeps it in a toolbox for like 15 years because he just thinks it's cool. And then one day he goes, you know, it'd be really sweet to get this thing framed. I'm going to call my buddy who is a police officer and ask him how to frame this. And so he goes, hey, man, I want to get this sweet OJ knife framed. I've had it for a long time.
What he was asking for? He was asking for the case number.
The case number,
because he wanted that emblazoned on a little plaque.
Oh,
he
couldn't look it up on Google.
And the guy goes,
can you look that up?
Are you a complete idiot? give me the knife. And basically that's what happens. Now it's being examined, the real thing. And this is what TMZ noted. Not so much, you know, you can't try OJ again. But what if OJ's accomplice's blood is on it? What if we can pin down who helped OJ allegedly hide the knife? Well, but also, hey, well, good.
Oh, his parole hearings are starting to come up.
Because
he's in jail in Nevada right now. So, like, this is, they're not supposed to take into account, but this is gonna be very convenient to keep him in jail because, look, I'm not saying I could prove that he did it, but it's more likely than not he did it.
Yeah.
OJ Simpson, the GOAT.
He got away with
it. It's amazing. I don't know, the OJ thing is incredible. I love OJ.
Okay, well,
watch the
next topic.
Okay,
before Ramon says anything more offensive.
I love the naked gun.
Okay,
naked gun.
We're going to go with
Norbert.
Houston, we have a problem. Rockets Discord, JC, go.
So, James Harden is pretty notorious for playing really horrible defense. And, yesterday he did more of the same where it's one thing to not pay attention to a guy who makes a back cut behind you. It's another thing for you to be staring a guy down coming at you, and you just plain don't move while he goes around you.
Is it like that college player that was like banging on the floor and the guy just zoomed past him?
It's pretty much that, but at least that kid had enthusiasm for playing defense, and his enthusiasm was a little misguided. But yeah, that was one of the funny videos. But yeah, the DeMar DeRozan drove by James Harden almost exactly like that. And it wasn't like in the first quarter, second quarter. There's 2 minutes left in the game. This is a crucial possession that James Harden is doing this stuff.
He knows he's paid to be there.
Yeah. And it seeps into other teams. There was a game against the Bulls in which Dwight Howard is running step for step with Derrick Rose. And Dwight Howard literally points at the basket. And nobody sets up to stop Derrick Rose. Dwight Howard could have done it because he was running step for step with him. But on the video, it looks like he's guiding him to the basket with his hand.
Oh, no, so Jesse, I want to ask you this. Now, right now, the Houston Rockets, again, this is a team that was in the Western Conference Finals last year. The Houston Rockets are 31-32, but they are clinging to the eighth and final playoff seed in the West. They are two games up on the Jazz. Looks like we're going to get Rockets-Warriors rematch of last year's Conference Finals. Is there anything that the Rockets can do to turn this around?
No, I mean, they're a team in disarray. At the trading deadline, there were rumors that came out that James wanted Dwight Howard traded, and then a few hours later there was rumors that Dwight wanted James Harden traded. They did execute a trade that was later voided because one of the players didn't pass his physical. So it's a team full of guys that don't want to play with each other.
Time.
Okay. All right. Next topic is LeBron's weird tweets.
Yeah, so LeBron has been cryptically tweeting, and I think he's doing it on purpose to troll the media because they know that everything he does is blown out of proportion. But specifically last week, they had a game Monday, and then they had a game Friday, so that means they had 2 days off. He went to Miami to hang out with Dwayne Wade and work out with him, and that made it to the internet. And he tweeted things like,
it's okay. This simple. You can't accomplish the dream if everyone isn't dreaming the same thing every day. Nightmares follow.
Well, that's not cryptic. That's like straight shade.
Structure and consistency creates perfection. You shortcut, you come up short, straight up.
Yeah. Well, what got people talking last week was he tweeted things like, it's okay to know you've made a mistake, because we all do it at times. Just be ready to live with whatever that comes with it, and be with those that protect you at all costs. He tweeted this while he was in Miami hanging out with Dwayne Wade.
Oh.
Yeah, and then so also tweeted, you can't replace being around great friends that reciprocate the same energy back to you in all facets of life. Really weird stuff, but I mean, Cleveland's fine. They had two really good games against Washington and then Boston, who's doing really good.
Well, but I think Cleveland is fine. I think LeBron, I think this is the real problem right now. Access is everything in the NBA. Somebody said this recently, but basically right now, the hot column, the hot take that everybody wants to write is, LeBron James is never going to win another title.
Right.
LeBron James will never win another title. He's on the wrong side of 30. He's got a bad team. He's run up against the worst. There's nothing he can do right now to avoid that. But nobody wants to write that, because if they write that, they're not going to get any access to LeBron James ever again. And so right now, there's this frustrating, seething feeling like, yeah, I'm going to run the East for five more years. What good is it going to do me? I don't have the squad to take down the Warriors, and that's a very real problem. Barring some kind of terrible injury, I think Cleveland's going to be Cleveland and lose late. Next topic.
Okay, we that was actually perfect.
I didn't hear a time called.
It was time. Okay, we got presidential election season, which is basically a sport the way they cover it.
Yeah, all right, so Ben Carson, RIP, dropped out. We're going to miss him. Down to the final four in the Republican field. John Kasich, Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio. Here's what's interesting. I think Donald Trump is going to get his ass kicked, his clock clean. He's already slipping in the polls nationally. He may very well be the nominee because he completely owns Super Tuesday. But I'll tell you the ticket. I'll tell you, if you're a guy that hates Hillary, if you're a guy that wants to see Hillary lose the White House, your path is very simple. John Kasich has been, he lost to Jeb Bush, he lost to Scott Walker, but he's still in this because he has a plan, which is wade in the water, win some Midwestern conferences, Midwestern primaries.
Then go to the convention.
He's the governor of Ohio with 60% approval rating, win Ohio, win Michigan. And then Rubio is right there to be the only reason Rubio was really seriously in this race was to impress, show out. He's only 45 years old, and he was there to be someone's vice president. You got Kasich and Rubio on the ticket.
He's here for the next president.
He's here for the next one. You got Kasich and Rubio joining forces. I'm waiting for that to happen because Cruz and Rubio don't like each other. And I think that's the realistic path to the nomination, to the ticket into the White House. But what's more than likely going to happen is that Donald Trump's going to continue to run. He's too far ahead. It's going to be crazy, man. Ellie, where are you at?
I think the Republicans just realized too late how deep they were into the primary. And they just had too many running. You had 17 running. So
17.
Donald Trump solidified this 28% early and just ran it. He's going to be the Republican nominee. Hillary's going to be the Democratic one. If there's a third party, Hillary wins. If there's not a third party, Hillary wins.
Well, and today, Michael Bloomberg announced that he won't run for president because he's afraid of Trump. He doesn't want to accidentally fuck anything up. So it's going to come down to him. Now, for all you Bernie bros out there, you know I got love for you. I respect what you're doing. I like what you're doing. Keep on rocking in the free world.
Time.
But the reality is that it's over. Next one.
Okay, we got the Yale sexual assault issue.
All right, let's talk about some sexual assault. Let's talk about this. For those that don't know.
Again.
I know. It's such a bummer.
It's almost like sports is systemically allowing this stuff to happen.
It's almost as if sports is systemically enabling sexual assault on campus. All right. Basically, Yale unceremoniously dismissed its captain. And then all of a sudden, players the next game were wearing the captain's nickname was Gucci. He was a white kid, and his nickname was Gucci. So they were basically wearing like shirts that said Gucci, and they were like, you know, how players support their stuff, like T-shirts, shit written on their sneakers. And that's all fine and good. Everybody thought, okay, well, this guy was weirdly dismissed from the team, but he was the captain. That's terrific. Oh, by the way, the next day on campus, there were flyers blanketed everywhere that said, Yale basketball, you need to stop supporting a rapist. That's what we know. That's all that we can really say. For all we know, this Gucci kid left the school and quit abruptly under perfectly normal academic circumstances. But it does appear as if there's some smoke in the water.
But, I mean, I think it's just what we talked about earlier. It's a sign that the culture's changing. Because, what did happen with Peyton Manning is quietly slept under the rug. If he had too much power for them to dismiss him, he was too good. This guy, they're like, it's just the old basketball team. Get him the fuck out of here, and we'll quietly solve this. But now it's like it's rightfully getting some attention brought to it. Some heat on it now, so that's good.
And also, you know, you think Yale, you think, for whatever reason, I feel like if you ask most Americans, who do you dislike more, Yale or Harvard? They're all going to say Yale. Yale just seems like...
Yeah.
They seem like
old money.
Like the worst, because they're in Connecticut, not Boston, and they also like the Bush went to Yale. Whatever. All right, next topic.
Yale seems more hoity-toity.
Yeah.
How you like them apples? We're going to go with Shaka Smart.
Hook 'em horns! Motherfucker, Shaka Smart.
He's beginning to believe.
I'm going to turn your mic down.
I tell you what, Texas all of a sudden is going to be a 5 seed, a 6 seed. This is a team that beat Oklahoma at home. This is a team that has more wins against top 10 opponents than any other team in the country.
Two wins versus top three opponents.
And they're doing it without Cameron Ridley, which was their second best player going into the season. And oh, by the way, that 6'9 big fella looks like he might be back for the Big 12 tournament. So, let's pivot real quick. Let's talk some March Madness. Is this the March Madness segment, or is that a different one?
That's what it was. I put MM and I didn't know what it was.
Okay, so let's talk a little March Madness while we're here. Now,
couldn't be more shorthand.
This is going to be an interesting tournament. Here's my Ramon Ramirez tips and tricks for March Madness. It's very simple, okay? Because you watch your conference, you watch your team, but we don't have time to sit here and watch 64 different teams during the winter months. But
speak for yourself.
I apologize. Big thing to keep in mind, though, is conference tournaments do not matter. You know, sometimes you'll have a team like Kansas State could theoretically win the Big 12 and knock out a bubble team. But by and large, if you're good, you're good. And really, if you stretch yourself thin and you do like a Jerry McNamara in 2006 and, you know, win the Big East in Madison Square Garden, all you do is wear yourself out. You saw that Syracuse team go to the tournament and get bounced in the first round. The conference tournament doesn't matter. You know who's good, you know who's bad, and you don't want to get swept by the momentum. You don't want to get swept by the seeding. You just have to know who's good and who's bad. Now, who is the best ranker of teams? Who has the best numbers? It's a guy named Kenneth Pomeroy, who runs a website called kenpom.com.
He's not selling hair gel.
Pull up those rankings, look at those rankings, and follow those teams over the next week, and you're going to see a lot of things that you like. And the other thing is that March Madness is a tournament about guard play, about backcourt play, so... Does your team that you're picking to win your bracket have a guy that can score 38 points in a night and carry you? Buddy Hield from Oklahoma, Perry Ellis from Kansas. If you don't have that guy on your team, you're not going to win the title. As much as I love Michigan State, as much as I love Valentine, they don't got a guy that can just go ape shit.
And so, any Cinderellas?
Texas is going to be a Sweet 16 team. You heard it here first. Beyond that, I love lean, mean Baylor. And beyond that, I don't want to get into it.
Okay, I assume the time out of that because we're combining them. We're at 2:30. Let's go to the next topic. It is going to be the Clippers.
Booyah. Clippers trading.
Done.
First of all, by the way, if you're a fan of the podcast and you're not already a member of the Austin Clippers fan club, what are you waiting for? We got scars. We got shirts. We got an official logo.
Scars?
We got scars. Facebook.com/Clippers Country. You're going to want to like the Austin Clippers. We got just south of 13 likes on there. Okay? So check us out. Now let's talk about the team. How about
team
the most
13?
This is the only team that can beat the Golden State Warriors mano a mano. And they're peaking at the right time. They blew out the Dallas Mavericks by 30 plus points tonight. Chris Paul is a tough defensive player that can get in his face. How about the Clippers earlier in the season? Had a 20-point lead on the Warriors.
Just fell apart.
This is a team that can really go for it. Now, the Warriors are deadly because the Warriors, you know, they have that magic ability to just score 3-3-3-3-3-3-3, and it's hard to imagine anybody beating them. But this is a team that matches up well with the Warriors.
Yeah.
This was an old school. This was like an emerging rivalry before the Warriors became the best team in the NBA. Trading for Jeff Green, this is a team that can go small ball. This is a team that right now is still, you know, awaiting the return of Blake Griffin. This is a top 15 player in the NBA that hasn't been a factor this calendar year. And when he comes back and folds into that team, it's going to be really exciting. This is also maybe one of the best defensive teams in the NBA with DeAndre Jordan and Chris Paul are doing. Because Chris Paul's a scrappy small guy. Now, I hate to parrot Colin Cowherd's analysis, but I think he's absolutely right in this case. Cowherd is a detractor of Russell Westbrook because he is a athletic marvel who's a low percentage shooter, who the other night when the Thunder lost to the Warriors went 1-for-8 shooting.
Yeah.
Chris Paul dishes. Chris Paul's a high percentage shooter. Chris Paul plays defense.
He sells insurance.
J.J. Redick can grill from the outside. And on nights when J.J. Redick gets going, the only thing that's going to really stop the Clippers from putting the fear of God into the Warriors is the back spasms of J.J. Redick, because you need J.J. Redick's hot hand to really have a chance. But beyond that, it's really static. And, you know, Hackett Jordan, that's going to suck. That's going to bum everybody out.
Time!
It is what it is. All right, next one.
UFC.
Yeah, so we got the Mexican dude beat the Irish dude. That's all I saw.
Damn.
Tell me about it.
So, yeah, Conor McGregor talking a lot of smack throughout the week. He was the Vegas favorite by a lot. His opponent, Nate Diaz, only had 11 days to train, but he's much bigger. For whatever reason, Conor McGregor, for this fight, wanted to go up a weight class and not put his belt on the line. You can kind of see why he did that, because he was completely overmatched. Every punch that he hit on Nate Diaz just didn't affect him. Nate Diaz is already one of those crazy fighters that will let you hit him 20 or 30 times to kind of tire you out before he makes his moves. Completely choked out Conor McGregor.
He watched Rocky one too many times.
Yeah. The other upset was in the women's division. Holly Holm, who beat Ronda Rousey a few months ago, taking on Miesha Tate. This one had implications in that the Rousey-Holm rematch is highly anticipated, but it was going to be dependent on Holly Holm still having the belt. She had the match won in the fifth round. She won every round, and Miesha Tate executed a really good move to do a rear naked choke when there was 90 seconds left in the match, and Holly Holm even refused to tap out. She went unconscious.
That's just fucking dangerous. Like,
yeah.
That's really bad for you.
Yeah.
Of course, they're fighters, so they probably don't care.
Yeah, but both upsets were I think they were fairly easy to predict. Miesha Tate is the only one who's taken Ronda Rousey past three rounds, and yeah, it was a good fight. They were both excellent fights.
I think one of the more like humorous elements of this was that both McGregor and Holm were on the cover of EA Sports UFC.
McGregor and Rousey.
Yes, sorry, yeah. That's what I meant to say. they're EA Sports UFC video.
The crying Jordan memes were plentiful.
Yeah. Last topic.
It was pretty rough.
We're going to end it on a geek topic.
Oh, shit.
Let's talk, since it's International Women's Day today.
Shut up.
We're going to talk about this pregnant woman on ESPN?
Nicole Starr.
I'm thinking Deadpool.
I got a serious thing for Nicole Starr. All right, I don't know if that's her name. I think the segment's called Nicole Starr. But Nicole, ESPN Sports Center anchor, I like her style. She's got attitude. All right,
yeah, International Women's Day.
We're going to go with Deadpool. What did y'all think? It's done a great job. Just, we just want to hear your impressions. We haven't heard that yet. So Logan, what's your take?
You know what? I liked it a whole lot. I don't think it was my favorite superhero movie. I don't think it was my favorite Marvel movie. I thought it was really good, and I love.
It's the highest grossing X-Men film now.
Yeah,
which I'm not surprised at. But I felt like it was a bit. I was expecting more from it. I felt like it was much more about just kind of like just. Like, here setting up some jokes, and it wasn't really as much about, like kind of progressing like a narrative, per
there
se.
Was, yeah. It was more like, I want to get revenge on this guy, we're going to pack a bunch of jokes along the way.
Yeah. Sometimes in comic book movies, I find really in-depth origin stories to be a little cumbersome. And so, I felt that with this one.
I'm also not a critic, and I loved it. I think everyone should go see it. It was a lot of fun. It was super entertaining.
You hear that? Logan saying, if you're under 18... If you're 9 years old, go see
please,
this.
Take your kids.
I'm going to go take my 4-year-old and 3-year-old nieces to go see this.
So you were in the theater.
When I was a kid, I saw R-rated movies, and I'm fine. I'm 34 and single, and I have cats, but whatever, I'm fine.
I saw Army of Darkness whenever I was 10 years old, and that was awesome.
I saw Cliffhanger when I was probably too young to see it, and I cried like a little punk.
There is this really cool like Easter egg in the movie that's the biggest Easter egg of all time.
Drop it.
But that you won't notice.
Drop it.
Oh, okay. There's a helicarrier in the movie, which they probably don't have the technical rights to. That they just said, fuck it. We're going to put it in the movie and Marvel can sue us if they want to.
A what?
Like a helicarrier from Avengers, the flying aircraft carrier.
Yeah, the big flying battleship.
Oh, damn.
Okay, we are at the end of the show.
All right, everybody. Welcome. To internet. Wait a minute.
It's the opposite.
All right, guys. good show. 2 minute warning. Hey, tweet us at insidethelocker.com. That's not it. At itlcast.net. At itlcast on Twitter. Find us on Instagram. Find us on Snapchat. And absolutely, you know, hit us up on Facebook. Facebook.com/ClippersCountry.
That's not it, no.
You guys have yourself a oneofus.net. Thanks for keeping the lights on. And we'll see you guys on the other side.
Thanks, y'all.